The problem with the free will defence. Both Augustine and Irenaeus adopt a free will defence, in which God is not responsible for evil, but humans are. Human beings and angels have been created with free will. Since the fall of man, humans have misused this free will and are responsible for all the evil in the universe. Or at least the moral evil. The angels are responsible for the natural evil. This is a big problem for the nature of God, being all-powerful and all-good. Surely it should have been possible for God to have created a world in which we are free, but always choose good. If so, an all-good creator should have done so. However, if we always, without exception, choose good, it suggests that we do not have freedom, but have been programmed and are no more than robots or puppets. Plantinga explores this issue. Plantinga and the free will defence. One of the most widely discussed modern writers to consider the problem of evil is Alvin Plantinga. Plantinga's approach is to try to show that the proposition, the assertion, God is omnipotent and wholly good, is logically consistent with the proposition evil exists. In order to do this, we need to find a third proposition which is logically possible. For if this third proposition is logically possible, it would be true to say the first, second, and third are not logically inconsistent. He's not trying to show that this new proposition is true, just that it is logically possible. This will then defend the first two propositions against the charge of logical inconsistency. Plantinga's third proposition is that evil exists on account of the actions of free, rational creatures. Possible worlds. Plantinga's argument proceeds through the use of what is called possible world semantics. It is enough to know that a possible world is a way that things are or might have been. So there is a possible world in which everything is as it is in this world, except that my shoes are brown instead of black. Or there is another possible world where everything is as it is, except that you are not listening to these words, but playing football. Possible worlds can be quite near to, quite like, the actual world, or they can be quite unlike the actual world, one in which elephants fly, or everyone supports Spurs. This world, our world, is a possible world that is actual, which is to say, it really exists. Imagine that Mr. Smith, the director of the Highways Agency, has just bribed Mr. Curley, the mayor of the city, with £35,000 so that he drops his opposition to the building of a new road. This happens in World A. Smith now wonders whether Curley would have taken a bribe of only £20,000 and still dropped his opposition. In World B, Curley would have done so. That is, in World B, the following proposition, Smith offers Curley £20,000 and he accepts it, is true. World B is, of course, a possible but non-actual world. So we can say that the following proposition, if B were actual, Curley would accept £20,000, is true. Could God make, Plantinga says actualize, world B? Well, if God is omnipotent, he could. But if God were to actualize world B, Curley would have no choice but to accept £20,000, since in world B, he does take the bribe. In other words, if God actualizes world B, he thereby deprives Curley of his freedom. So it cannot be that God actualizes world B and Curley still remains free concerning whether or not to take the bribe. This is so even if God does not want Curley to take the bribe, or even if God wants Curley to do good. However, if God cannot actualize world B with Curley remaining free, is this not a limitation on God's omnipotence? In fact, it is not, because it is not logically possible for God to actualize world B and leave Curley free. It is mistaken to think that God's omnipotence extends to doing that which is logically impossible. Plantinga thus tries to show that there is no logical inconsistency in holding that God is all-powerful and all-good, and that evil exists. God is not totally unlimited, God cannot bring about logically impossible states of affairs. God cannot do that which is logically impossible. And it is not logically possible to actualize world B and leave Curly free. In our world, evil acts are the acts of free people. Following Plantinga's line, there is no contradiction in holding that this is true and also the belief that God is omnipotent and all-loving. Note that Plantinga does not claim to tell us the reason that evil exists, to give us, that is, a theodicy. He wants to show that there is no logical inconsistency between the recognition of the existence of evil and a belief in God. John Mackey argued that if it is at all possible for a person who is free to do the right thing on one occasion, then it is also possible for a person to do the right thing on all such occasions. Why then, he asks, could God not have created a free human being who always did the right thing? If this were possible, Plantinga's argument would be undermined, because now there would be freedom, but no evil, because everybody did good. Plantinga introduces the idea of trans-world depravity. A free creature, Curly, say, from our previous example, suffers from trans-world depravity. If it will freely do wrong on at least one occasion, that is, in whatever world this creature existed, or was actualized, it would do wrong at least once. For Plantinga, in response to Mackey, an omnipotent God could not create a world in which free creatures never choose to perform wrong actions. It is just not possible. Even if God cannot create a world where free people always do right, it is not a limitation on God's omnipotence to be unable to do that which is logically impossible. To create a world where free people always do right means they are not free. It's just a logical contradiction. It cannot be done, even by God. Moreover, this does not place a limitation on God's omnipotence.